Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith. Here's a short clip of Mosaic World News on Link TV, August 15th.
Through this campaign, Israel is planning to seize total control of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and expel Palestinian residents from the holy city. The head of the Islamic movement in Israel, Sheikh Raed Salah, said that the Israeli project is part of a larger comprehensive campaign that the Hebrew state is planning to carry out in the city of Jerusalem.
We'll talk about that news, look at Israeli attacks on journalists, and assess the climate in Gaza and the Arab world as the U.S. election approaches. We're joined by Palestinian journalist Mohammed Omer and Jamal Dajani, the Peabody Award-winning Senior Director of Middle Eastern Programming at Link TV. As Mohammed Omer returned home from London earlier this summer, he must have felt a great sense of accomplishment. In his early 20s, he was the youngest recipient ever of the coveted Martha Gellhorn Award for Journalism. Here is Dar Jamail's comment on sharing the award with him.
I can't think of another person I would rather share this prize with than Mohammed Omer. It's a big honor, actually, to be sharing it with you. Your reporting from Gaza has just been off the charts.
Omer's work for various international press outlets has earned him respect among his peers, and his emotional reports via the blog Rafa Today led people to nickname him Voice for the Voiceless, an unofficial spokesperson for some 1.5 million people living in Gaza. But as he tried to return home, Mohammed Omer was detained by the Israeli security forces, and what happened next caused an international outcry. He was stripped naked at gunpoint, interrogated, kicked, and beaten for more than 4 hours, then transferred to a hospital. He now faces surgery to repair nerve damage. In April, another Palestinian reporter was attacked, this time killed. Amnesty International said the 24-year-old Reuters cameraman Fadl Shana was the victim of a targeted attack, and another civilian taking no part in attacks on Israeli forces. Mohammed Omer, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Your injuries now confirmed by medical reports. Have you continued to try to get information from the Israelis or Shin Bet, the security service? I know they refused to provide information or do an investigation earlier.
Well, obviously, the many European embassies that they are following the case, they are not convinced by the Israeli latest answer. So they asked them to do a serious investigation. And therefore, Israel promised to carry a serious investigation, giving information about what happened exactly, because the Dutch representative office in Ramallah, they were not satisfied with Israel's response on my case, and then they protested, and they asked Israel to do an investigation, and that's what is happening for now. We haven't received any results about my case so far, as it seems to me that Israel is trying to postpone it as much as possible, and by that they are trying to kill the story so people can forget of what happened and forget even demanding about the investigation. Still, there are some human rights groups in England, in the United States, and in Europe. They are working hard and getting an Israeli response on what happened or the result of the investigation. But so far, we have received nothing.
You've had support from the Dutch Foreign Ministry, the spokesman at The Hague, Ahmed Dadaou, saying this behavior by Israeli officials isn't in accordance with modern democracy. What else might develop here if Israel continues to refuse to investigate?
I'm not quite sure that Israel will investigate, because what is different between my case and the hundreds of cases before? I'm a journalist who have been abused, tortured, and sit naked under the gunpoint at Olympia Crossing. And I always ask myself, what is the difference between my story and other stories, like the story of the American citizen, Rachel Corey, who was killed by an Israeli bulldozer, Tom Harandel, a British peace activist, James Miller, who is a British cameraman. They were all killed by the Israeli occupation forces, and nothing happened, just no investigations, no results, and nothing happened. They just say, we investigate, they let the story die, and it's been many years We're waiting for investigation results. The same case of the family on the beach, the 8 family members who were killed in the beach of the Gaza city, if we all remember in 2006 when this family, they were killed, and including babies and the children, and no results came out of this investigation. Our colleagues killing Reuters cameraman, and now Israel is trying to cover its crime and to show that the incident or the shooting of this Reuters cameraman was reasonable, as they say. And by that, they are not really directly admitting that they have killed him. And the same case for also the 5 children who were collecting strawberries some years ago in the northern part of the Gaza Strip. What happened to those children? Nothing. No results came out. Nothing is happening. And still, there are many other cases of people who have been killed and injured. Let me remind you also of the 5 family members of Al-Athamna family in Beit Hanun area, targeted by a tank missile, and the children were getting ready to go to their school, but they were killed inside their house, and no results came out. So what's the difference between my case and the story of all those cases? Nothing, of course. Israel doesn't take this serious. Obviously, there is a violation for human rights, and the pressure button in Israel is not enough. Even if it's enough in some cases, it's for 1 or 2 weeks that the drums are banging. But then Israel say, okay, we investigate, and then 2-3 months passing, no results, and then Israel goes. So Israel is getting away with the daily crimes and the torture and the daily injustice that it's doing to the Palestinians on a daily basis.
Mohamed Omer, your work appearing now in many places. You're on television, the BBC, Norway's NRK TV, and you've been writing for Interpress, IPS news service. What other press outlets do you write for in addition to the blog Rafah Today?
So I'm also writing for the Washington Report, Middle East Affairs, and IPS news agency, as well as Morgenbladet, a Norwegian newspaper in Oslo.
Mohamed, talk about Fadel Shana, the Reuters man who was killed, and along with members of the Reuters crew in Gaza, and as I understand it, Palestinian civilians too. Just describe what you know of that event. I understand there actually Israelis are not agreeing even to do an investigation there either.
Our colleague Fadel Shana, the cameraman for Reuters, in April, he was filming close to Gaza City during one of the attacks, and then while he was filming, he got out of his car, which is clearly marked as a brace, written on a TV in Arabic and in English, on the roof and on the sides of the car, so that cannot be unseen by anyone. Everybody knows that he's a journalist, and he was there to film, but then Israeli, he was filming the children who were killed and the children who were passing by the area, and they were killed by tank missiles. But then Israel did not admit what happened to him, unfortunately, and they did not carry an investigation, or maybe they carry, but it's not a serious investigation, because the results came out 2 days ago showing that what happened was reasonable, and they don't want to blame the Israeli soldiers who were in the tank who killed Fadel Shana. Fadel Shana, the cameraman, he was killed by a direct tank missile to his body. His face and his head was turned into pieces. You cannot see his face. You cannot see his head because it's thrown away from his body. And some 2 children, they were passing by, and they were also killed in that same incident. Unfortunately, Israel did not take this serious case, but there has been just some 2 hours ago a demonstration by Palestinian journalists all over the Gaza Strip protesting against the Israeli decision of not blaming the Israeli soldiers for that. So the question remains, who to blame when a civilian journalist is being killed in front of everybody, and we know that he's a journalist who is here to tell the truth and to get the message out, and that is the Israeli army. They killed him in purpose. They know that he's a journalist. So who to blame And what is shocking is that the international community is keeping silent, which for me, the way I read it, is a green light from the international community for Israel to continue daily crimes against Palestinians, including Brescia crew and journalists working in Palestine who are working to get the message out of the Gaza Strip.
Now, Fadi Alshana was en route to cover a refugee camp that had been attacked. Why don't you talk about the story he might have gotten?
Well, Fadi Alshana, he goes to all these kind of attacks. If it's assassinations by Israeli F-16s, helicopters, warplanes, or even tanks, demolishing greenhouses and closing the crossings. He is a man who is taking film of news incidents of what's happening around all the Gaza Strip. I don't think it was part of the movie or part of the commentary. What he was doing, he was part of a Reuters crew working for Reuters in that day, using the car of Reuters, and it was clearly identified as the press. He was there to take some shots for the Israeli tanks. They were close to him, and they were bombing and attacking the houses at Johor Adik area, which is close to the Gaza city Wadi. And this was just, you know, a person who was filming an Israeli attack, one of hundreds of attacks that are happening on regular basis. And then he was targeted in this attack. And this is nothing new. Palestinian journalists have been tortured, have been shot at, have been killed. And many of them, they are arrested now because they choose to carry the camera and to record. Obviously, from my point of view, Israel does not want those people to record and to film what's happening. They do not want these people to show that. I have seen the video showing the last minute before Fadi Alshana was killed, and the moment that this video stops is actually when the Israeli missile hit his body, and after that the camera stopped. So we know what was going on, and he was filming an Israeli tank shooting missiles at crowds of people in close to fields of olive trees and orange trees. And that was the last moment that we could all see. That's clear that they targeted a journalist, and they know that he's a journalist.
Do you think in the case of American Rachel Corrie, killed by a bulldozer, the IDF said they couldn't see her? In the case of Fadi Alshana, same thing. Do you think the Israelis should be able to see from these vehicles? Maybe they even tape these attacks.
I have read an article from years ago by Israeli pilot at one of the Israeli F-16s, and he declared in this interview, translated from a French newspaper, saying that he could even read a newspaper on the ground. He could see all the details, so it's nonsense if they cannot see the details. I'm sure that they have got all the equipment to make them see who is this and who is that, and they're fully aware that this is a man who's a journalist. Come on, we are talking about Rachel Corrie's other story. It can't be that the Israeli driver of the bulldozer could not see Rachel Corrie. It can't be at all. So that's something that, you know, we cannot even discuss now, because it can't be someone who drove someone who is approaching a bulldozer. That's it. American citizen who was driven by a bulldozer face to face. And there are some people who were killed just face to face. Israeli soldiers, they know them. They've seen them, and Israel is just killing them. So it's as easy as that. Why should we even allow these thoughts to come into our minds? Because we know that Israel is killing the people deliberately, and all the times they claim that they did not know if this person was a journalist or this person was a militant. These kind of stories, they make no sense, because they know what is a journalist, and they know what is an ambulance crew, and they know what is the children, the innocent children passing by. They could see everybody clearly. And if you look at the Israeli comments, the immediate comments after the killing some hours, and you compare them to what's happening now, you will see the story for yourself.
Now, you report on what happens in the region in general. You do not leave out coverage of what has happened to Israelis, including Israeli soldiers, in your reports. One thing I did notice is that you very frequently talk about what happens in Gaza, in the occupied territories of Palestine, when these kinds of attacks occur against Israelis and the kinds of repercussions that are then going to be taking place and people suffering? How does this work, and what is this like to be in Gaza, in Rafah, when the Israelis are angry or defensive about an international story?
It is my wish all the time to cover the story from both sides. But unfortunately, for more than 20 times, I have asked for permit to leave the Gaza Strip and to report from inside the West Bank, to go to Jerusalem, to go to parts of Israel, and to report what's happening there as well. But Israel has regarded me as a security risk, and they are not giving me a permit to travel and to report about what's happening. So reporting about what occupation is doing is something that I simply cannot do, because Israel is not allowing me to do such a thing, though this is something that I know that I wanted to do for many years, and I wish if I could do it, but Israel does not want me to do it and to report about what's happening. And something else, the same goes for the Israeli attacks and what's happening to the Israeli soldiers. Many times that, you know, you get in touch with Israeli sources and you ask them if there are any Israeli casualties, but they all the time you find a difference between them and between the Palestinian story. The Palestinians, they do not hide what happened. But the Israeli army, they would say no injuries reported from the Israeli army side. While there are some evidence, according to some eyewitnesses, that there are some Israeli soldiers who were injured or perhaps killed during these attacks, but then Israel spokesmen most of the times they deny such incidents, and they made it clear that nothing like that happened. I'm fully aware that this is part of a military game of not showing that the Israeli army soldiers have been killed. I don't know what's the reason for that, but I have noticed that many times. And therefore, when someone cannot really confirm something to me, then I really cannot include it in my reports or articles.
Didn't the Israelis ask you if you had travel plans other than those to just go home? Wasn't that part of their reason they said they arrested you?
And it made me laugh to say it once again, but I don't mind to say. Israel, they claimed that I was going to the West Bank, which was not true at all. I am not allowed to go to the West Bank, and there was escort with me from the Dutch representative office and the Dutch embassy, and the escort, they agreed to take me from the Allenby Bridge straight to Gaza crossing, where I will not even be able to see any part of the Palestinian territories, and the windows of this car are closed, and it's a diplomat car, and I could not see anyone, I could not meet with anybody, and I could just drive all the way to the Gaza Strip. So there is no point of mentioning that I'm going to meet with anybody, because it's part of the deal to get me in and out of the Gaza Strip is to put me in a diplomat car and drive all the way without stopping here or there. So we did not stop on the way, we did not see anybody, and I was driven all the way. That was the plan, at least, because I was transferred into a Jericho hospital later on due to what happened to me inside the Allenby crossing. But I had no intention at all to go or to meet or to see anybody in the Palestinian side, and that is not accurate what Israel has said in the media.
Now, we've heard a report on Link TV, Mosaic, they cite Al Arabiya, about added construction at Al-Aqsa Mosque, the holy site of the Dome of the Rock. What do you think reaction would be in Gaza to this kind of news? And what about the timing of this? Could it have anything to do with the U.S. election, let's say?
In my experience, I think this will cause some kind of troubles inside the Palestinian community, and it's going to cause some demonstrations in the coming days from the Gaza Strip and from the West Bank. That's what I would expect people, because for people that Israel is trying to do whatever it wants with the Palestinian and the Islamic holy site, people are outraged at this point, and I don't think that this is going to happen at all. It happened before that Israel proposed this, and then there are numerous numbers of protests and demonstrations, not only in Gaza, in the West Bank, in Jerusalem, but also in other Arab countries around the world. There will be media coverage, and I believe that Israel wants again to get the idea that Israel is living between all these Arab countries around the world and not feeling safe, and they want to get the sympathy, I would say, from the American street and from the American people before there will be elections. So I would consider this part of election campaign to make Israel one of their favorites and to support some of those people running for the presidential elections in the United States who would support Israel in this situation.
What are some of the stories you're working on now?
There will be a story released in some hours, and it will be about Mahmoud Darwish, the Palestinian poet, talking about his life and his words and poetry. And there will be other story about sewage system flooding in Gaza and the throne in the Mediterranean Sea, making pollution in 11 areas in the beach. And this might affect not only the Gaza Mediterranean beach, but also Israel and Egypt, because people are throwing sewage water system in the beach, which affects environment and the fishing industry.
What is your favorite poem by Mahmoud Darwish?
My favorite poem is, of course, Gaza. This is the place where I choose to be. I've been offered to get out of the Gaza Strip. I've been offered to go abroad and to work and to live, but I've refused simply because I want to continue to be a voice for the voiceless and to get the message out of the Gaza Strip to the world.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Mohamed Omer, winner of the 2008 Martha Gellhorn Award, works for various press outlets, including Interpress Service and Washington Reports, Mideast Affairs. He blogs at Rafa Today. Joining us next is Jamal Dajani, the Peabody Award-winning Senior Director of Middle Eastern Programming at Link TV. First, another clip from their broadcast of Mosaic, the program featuring Arab voices.
During a press conference held by Al-Aqsa Institution for the construction of Muslim holy sites, the head of the Islamic movement in Israel, Sheikh Raed Salah, uncovered an Israeli plan aimed at seizing the courts of Al-Aqsa Holy Mosque and turning them into public areas. According to Sheikh Salah, the Israeli occupation is planning to build a military bridge extending from the area of the Moroccan Gate to the Dome of the Rock Holy Shrine. In addition, Salah pleaded to the Arab and the Muslim world and urged them to take practical measures against this Israeli campaign before losing Al-Aqsa Mosque and Arab Jerusalem.
According to senior producer Jamal Dajani, the Link TV half-hour news magazine Mosaic gives Americans the opportunity to listen to news that millions in the Arab world hear.
It gives people an option to see the diverse coverage. And I believe our viewers are intelligent enough to make up their mind and deciding what is valid and not, rather than seeing a talking head showing them some B-roll material from the Middle East and inserting their own perspective and opinion over it.
What do you think the response will be in the Arab world and in the occupied territories, Palestine, to the report that we just heard?
The construction is not something new. There are ongoing constructions beneath and around Al-Aqsa Mosque, which caused a lot of upheaval, and particularly for Palestinians living in Jerusalem and its surrounding areas. This is an ongoing situation to create a schism and friction in the territories. Israel has been for years infringing on Palestinian holy sites, and not just really Al-Aqsa, but other sites. I mean, mosques have been taken over, even churches were damaged. Of course, Al-Aqsa site is the most important site in entire Palestine. And to answer your question, what is the reaction from the Arab world? I would say condemnation, but they have failed to do anything. And that's why Israel is emboldened to keep doing what it has been doing for years. There was, in the 70s, someone went inside Al-Aqsa and set a fire, and nothing happened except words and condemnation. Unfortunately, the Arab League is very weak and is ineffective. And this is left on the shoulders of mainly Jerusalemites to try to defend it with their bodies and souls.
As the U.S. election approaches, do you think there are added tensions? How do you read things after your various trips to the region?
You know, going back, I've covered the reaction, let's say, how do Israelis feel about the elections and who do they favor? Even with the trips of, let's say, Senator Obama, they're trying to convince them, you know, that he's the better candidate. And even with his speech at AIPAC, the vast majority of Israelis prefer McCain over Obama because it's a continuation of the Bush administration policies, which is basically giving them the upper hand on everything that goes on in the occupied West Bank and Jerusalem.
You know, Jerusalem construction at the sacred Dome of the Rock, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, it brings to mind wild statements that have been made by end days religious extremists like U.S. Christian Zionists, John Hagee, cultivated by John McCain, and his surrogate U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut. What are your thoughts on religious extremism in this particular climate?
This is something we are aware of mostly here in the United States. For the average Palestinian who lives in Jerusalem or in the West Bank, they face far greater issues that affect their lives on a daily basis. Not only, you know, the issues of checkpoints, but mass arrests and deportations, home demolitions, and the continuous threat for what we have seen, the destruction of Al-Aqsa, because all these excavations beneath Al-Aqsa weaken its foundations. But if you are a Palestinian under the age of 40, let's talk about freedom of religion and for someone to practice their religion in Palestine and in the West Bank. If you are under the age, if you are a male and you are under the age of 40, you are prevented to go for Friday prayer. So imagine if a Christian is prevented from going to Sunday Mass right here in the United States, or a Jew from attending, going to their temple on Saturday. But this is being practiced on every weekend, every Friday. Israelis cordon the entire area around Al-Aqsa Mosque and prevent Palestinians from going and practicing freely their religion. So we have greater issues than what McCain might do, or who is he endorsed by, or what other religious extremist leaders in this country do or say, because the ongoing policies that are happening by the Israelis vis-a-vis the Palestinians are really horrendous.
We heard journalist Mohammed Omer earlier talking about the death of Fadel Shana and eight others killed by an Israeli shell packed with darts in April. Is this an increased crackdown on the Palestinian press?
This is, again, what Israel gets away with on the local and regional and international level. Reporters have been targets before. I've worked on a documentary called Occupied Minds, and one of my cameramen who worked with me in Gaza was shot in the hand, and he lost one of his fingers due to an Israeli sniper, and I interviewed him, and he made it clear to me and even showed me a photograph. He never leaves his van to work without wearing a bright blue vest written on it, pressed, and yet he was attacked. And we've seen it with several reporters that were, you know, attacked. We've seen it with peace activists like Richard Corey that were killed. These atrocities happen on a daily basis, and unfortunately, they hardly make it outside the territories, or they are not reported in the mainstream media in the United States.
Jamal Dajani is a senior producer at Link TV and hosts Mosaic Intelligence Report. He has worked on several Link TV film productions, including Who Speaks for Islam and Occupied Minds. For Chalk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. This program was produced at WHUS at the University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut. WHUS.org to listen live, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts, audio, and discussions.